Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome each of you today to this program, The Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We welcome you today. It's always a joy to come into your home, wherever that you might bring or be, to bring to you the unsearchable riches of Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. What a joy it is to be a blood-bought, born-again child of God and to witness the things that are taking place here in the time of the end. No doubt we are witnessing a profuse acceleration of world events bringing us to the point of the debut of the Antichrist and the second advent of Jesus, the Lord Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. We welcome you today, and as always, we trust and we pray that something might be said, something might be done to encourage your heart, to encourage your spirit, or to convict you, to bring you a little closer to the foot of the cross where Christ was crucified. Before we go into the program today, I want to play an old song, Only a Look. I trust it will speak volumes to your heart and to your life. Everyone needs a genuine look at Jesus, the Lord Christ. Amen.
Jesus.
certainly only Jesus Christ can give a man eternal life. It can be found in none other. That's the problem with the world today. Men are seeking eternal life without God. For that reason, God drove Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, forbidding them to eat of the tree of life so they might live eternally in a fallen state. And God prohibits that. Men who do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior are eternally damned without God. There is no other way. There is no alternative. It's either Jesus or the devil. It's either heaven or it's hell. I know that's plain. I know that might be crass to some people. But that's the unmitigated truth, and that's what this world is lacking today, if I must say so. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. And therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood. The Greek says, I am innocent of the murder of this just person. See ye to it. Then entered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. And then released he Barabbas unto them, and when they had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. May God add his untold riches to the word of God today. The decision everyone will make. The decision everyone will make. Truly, there has never been anyone like Jesus Christ throughout all the ages. In John 7 and 44, the Bible says, And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Those that sought to lay hands upon Christ, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, recognized something divine about this man called Jesus. Again, let me quote from John 7:44. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. When his enemies came to seize him in the garden, he spoke. They fell to the ground. The truth is, Pilate was on trial. It was not Jesus who was on trial, but rather the whole world was on trial that day. Pilate asked a profound question here in our scripture text in Matthew 27:22. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The word Christ means Christos, the anointed one. The truth is, we are all either for or against Christ. You're either for him or you're against him. Again, there's no middle ground. Decide we must. We must all decide who Jesus is. The choice settles forever man's destiny in time and eternity. Pilate faced several alternatives. We're going to look at the scriptures in John 18 and 33. And then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? What is truth? Art thou a king? What Pilate did not understand? He was standing before the Creator. He was standing before the King of Kings and standing before the Lord of Lords. I love Revelation. And I love the second advent of Christ our Lord. In Revelation 19, verse 11, John said, And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Art thou a king? Caesar said. Or Pilate? Are you a king? Jesus said, My kingdom is not from hence, or my kingdom is not of this world. He was a king. He is a king. And then Pilate asked the question, What is truth? Little did Pilate fully understand. He was addressing the King of Kings. Little did he understand. Standing before him was the embodiment of truth. For Jesus had declared in his ministry, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. See, today we live in a world of cynics who sees the price of everything, yet they value nothing. They see the price of everything, yet they value nothing. As I was studying and preparing today, I thought about Obamacare. They see the price of having everyone have health care, where women have health care to murder babies. They see the price, the cost of health care, but they don't even value the lives, those little children that are murdered every day. 4,600 babies are murdered in America. They see the price of everything, yet they value nothing. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12 says, there is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. This is a generation that is pure in their own eyes, yet they are full of sin and filth and degradation and debasedness. Yet they have the audacity to say, God made me this way. God didn't make you a sodomite, because God is not a sodomite. Man was made in the image and in the likeness of God. Man was not made in the image of a beast or a sodomite or an adulterer or a drunkard. Man was made in the image and in the likeness of God Almighty. Yet we have the audacity to blaspheme God, blaspheme the Holy Ghost, to say, no, this is how God made me. Vance Havner once said, truth is a whom. Truth is not a what, but rather truth is a whom. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. People today want tolerance, and they want open-mindedness. But in the end, all men must make up their mind about Jesus Christ. You see, they want open-mindedness. They want tolerance for everyone. But when it comes to Jesus of Nazareth, there is no tolerance. They hate him, and they hate him with a passion, and they hate those of you who follow the Lord Christ, the Son of the living God, and they will hate you till you're dead. They loathe Jesus Christ. Many have already made their decisions. They make their pronouncements by what they advocate, by what they legislate, by what they say, by what they do. They make their judgments against this Christ of God. A man is not a sinner because he is a skeptic. He's a skeptic because he's a sinner. When a man becomes born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, all skepticism is put away. The Holy Ghost conviction of God convinces a man, I'm lost, I'm undone, I'm unworthy. Skepticism goes out the door. Why? Because he realizes who he is and what he is without God. Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm unclean, I dwell among unclean people. When you get in the presence of the Holy Ghost, you realize how tenuous you are at your best. A man is a skeptic because he's a sinner. He does not know the Lord's Christ. He does not know the Son of the living God. The problem is not in one's head. The problem is one's heart. It's his heart. It's not his head. Pilate, second alternative. Christ or criminality? That's right. Christ or criminality? Pilate released a criminal called Barabbas. And the world since then has cast their lot with criminals. Look at our nation. Look at our Supreme Court justices. Look at our United States Senate. Look at our United States Congress. They cast their lot with the Barabbases. Not with the Christians, not with the redeemed, not with the blood-bought, but with the vile, the wicked, the salacious. That's who they cast their lot with. As a Christian, we choose the best. That's right. As Christians, we choose the best. You'll either choose the best or you'll choose the beast. That's right. You're either going to serve Jesus Christ or you're going to serve the Antichrist. It can't be both ways. I notice today the people, so many people like Obama who say, I'm a Christian. What falsehood, what lies, what apostasy, what rhetoric, what jargon. They're not a bit more Christ than Satan is. Today, the world is filled with anarchy, bedlam, rebellion. Teenage gangsters and beheaders are leading the way in this generation. Who would have ever thought modern man would become so beastly today? But man is a beast without God. Isaiah gave us a profound prophecy. We're on the precipice of watching it being fulfilled here in the coming months. If we're not careful, we're going to fulfill Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Gangsters, teenagers that are so brutal, so vile, so wicked, murderous teenagers. And then we have those of the faction of Islam who go as far as behead people, young people, little boys, 10, 12, 13 years old, teaching them to take a knife and cut a man's head off. And I'll say it again. I said it 3 or 4 years ago. If God Almighty does not intervene, you'll have a woman in the White House come this coming November. If God Almighty does not intervene, this scripture, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. We're being destroyed because of who's leading us. They're not leading us. They're damning us. I said they're not leading us. They're damning us. And I watch the cynicism. I watch the cynics. I watch the skeptics. I listen to the spinning doctors, the talking heads. Never before has there been more pure God haters than there is today. They just hate God with a passion. The Pledge of Allegiance, our Lord's Prayer, anything that has God or God in it, they hate it with a passion. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about re-education and legislation. What we need is redemption, sanctification, and justification by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will atone for sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. Sorry, worthless politicians who go up there, middle class, and they all leave multimillionaires on the backs of the American citizens. This nation, no wonder God told Dimitri Dudeman, it's Babylon. All these people coming into our nation, all of these people bringing in their gods. They don't want Jesus Christ. They don't want the Messiah. They don't want the Redeemer. Just like the Jews who said, crucify him, crucify him, away with him. Let his blood be on us and on our children. Well, you're going to get what you've asked for, America. You're going to get it. These liberal politicians, these liberal city councilmen, these liberal state leaders, they're going to witness bloodshed in this nation, and it's going to be at their expense. Because they will end up saying, we never thought this would happen. Satan never shows you the noose and the gallows. He never shows you the death spiral. He just shows you the glitz and the glory and the glamour of the world. But he'll not show you death in its personification. He never will. Preachers. I can say this because I'm a God called preachers. Preachers are worthless today. Preachers are hirelings today. They don't pray. They don't fast. They don't preach the word of God. They're candy ice cream salesmen. That's all they are. I said we need redemption. We need sanctification. We need justification. And it's only by the precious blood of Jesus Christ you can have that. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul." Romans 5:9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace." Ephesians 2:13, "But ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ." Revelation 1:5, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." This wasn't the blood of another turtle dove, a goat, or a ram. This was the blood of a king, King Jesus. Nobody wants to hear the unmitigated truth today. Pamper me, pad me, protect me from the truth. Give me the Joy Osteens who will preach me a feel-good sermon every week, because God wants everything about me to be good and to be blessed. But a man that won't tell you the truth is literally damning your soul in the end. A man that will not tell you the truth is damning your soul in the end. A physician, a medical doctor, oncologist, whatever he might be, if he will not honestly tell you the truth, he's a murderer. If he lies to you and withholds the truth from you and tells you everything is all right, then when you get a second opinion, the doctor says, "What's going on? Look at this report. You have but days to live." Or you're going to go back to that other doctor and pat him on the back and say, "Thank you for the lie. Thank you for the misrepresentation of the truth. Thank you for beguiling me. Thank you for deceiving me." No. You'll be angry. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, we don't want to hear the pure, unadulterated truth. We want it both ways. "Well, I know I'm not living right, but I'm still a Christian." Oh, really? I know that I'm not where I need to be. If you know that, why don't you do something about it? If you're standing on the shore of a bank and someone is drowning and asking for help, are you going to stand there and say, "Well, I know I should do something, but, well, I really don't care"? There would be those who would say you are criminal to the fact. Basically, there's a rope or a life preserver sitting right there beside you and you do nothing. See, this is the way it is in America today. "Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't say anything." You know, I understand the world being politically correct. I can understand these two-faced, lying hypocrites who call themselves senators and call themselves congressmen and congresswomen, and the president being a charlatan. I understand all of that. But I don't understand Christians. I don't understand so-called ministers of the gospel. I don't understand it, because that's who I am. I'm a Christian first. I'm a preacher second. I don't understand that. There's something about my mind that doesn't work like that. And I know why my mind does not work like that. Because my mind is redeemed, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. "Well, it's just not that black and white," one man said to me the other day. That's because he didn't want it black and white. He wants it gray. He wants to live in the gray area. You know why? He's got sin in his life. That's right. He's got sin in his life. And when a preacher comes along and shells the corn and tells it like it is, it brings conviction. And that bothers them when that happens. "Oh, well, we don't believe that's that way with God." You don't want to believe the truth because you want to believe a lie. Because you want to believe a lie, the Bible said you're going to be damned. I don't believe in sinless perfection, but I do believe in striving and contending. I believe if you're getting drunk on a regular basis, I'm going to tell you to your face, I don't believe you're saved. You hear me? I believe if you're fornicating on a regular basis, I don't believe you're saved. That's the way of the world. If you're committing adultery on a regular basis, you're not saved. That's not what God's people do. God's people strive to live right. Do we fall? Yes, we fall. It's a terrible thing to fall. It's a worse thing to stay in that fall. Get up, get out, and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, no, we go to a church and pat you on the back and say, oh, he loves you just like you are. You see, the reason they can say that is because there's no Holy Ghost conviction in the church. Holy Ghost conviction will not let you remain like you are, my friend. Do you hear me? Conviction does not allow you to remain like you are. Conviction says you're going to get it right or you're going to get out. You're going to get it right or you're going to get out. Now, I know that's a little hard for these immature baby Christians, but that's the truth. You're either going to get in, you're going to get out, or you're going to get run over. See, the truth is all men, they're criminals without Christ. Some today kill their wives or kill their mothers with a gun. Others do it by breaking their hearts. You see, that's the nature of the animal of man without God. He's a beast. I watch the news like most of you, especially the local news, and you hear and you see some of the things that men and women do, and you're like, how do they do that? How do they do that? You don't know how blessed you are for the presence of God to live in your life and to be a perpetual deterrence to evil. When God lives in your life, when the presence of God abides in you, there is a perpetual deterrence toward evil. Oh, an evil thought might come through your mind, like being unfaithful to your husband or being unfaithful to your wife, but the Holy Ghost says, you can't do that. Then you draw back and say, no, that's evil. I can't do that. I can't go there. That's what the presence of God does. He says you've got to make it right. See, the sin nature lives in all of us. But like my dear friend who's deceased and going on to be with the Lord, George Alford, many years ago, I was probably 30, 32 years old, having taken my first pastorate, riding home from the church. He said, David, don't ever let Adam get out of the coffin. Keep the coffin lid nailed shut. Drive more nails in the coffin. Keep Adam dead. He said, if Adam ever gets out, he'll cause you more pain. He'll cause you more sorrow. He'll cause you more hurt than you can fix in a lifetime. I never forgot that little talk. Brother Alford was probably in his late 70s, early 80s at that time. But he said, David, don't you ever let Adam out of the coffin. If he gets out, he'll wreak havoc in your life. I look at men like Jimmy Swaggart, a perpetual cripple, all because of the lust of the flesh. No one could ever convince me any different. The Holy Ghost smote his heart time and time and time again and said, Jimmy, you got to stop it, son. You got to stop it. You override the Holy Ghost one time too many. God says, I'll let you fall into the hands of the judgment of men. And men are never just in their judgment. Do you hear me? Men are never just in their judgment. David had enough wisdom. He said, don't let me fall in the hands of my enemies. Let me fall into the hands of my God. Why? He knew the enemy would be relentless. He knew the enemy would kill, steal, and destroy and devour him. Because let man get after you and he'll destroy you. There are men that seek to destroy me to this day. There are men that are raised up by hell and Lucifer himself to destroy the voice of evangelism. They have envy. They have envy. You see, that's exactly what the Bible said about Pilate talking about Jesus Christ. He recognized what was taking place in Christ life here. He saw the multitude. He saw what their spirit was. It was the spirit of death. Let's go back and read the scripture text again. I want you to get this picture. Matthew 27:15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. This man had great notoriety in his criminality. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ, the Anointed One? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Envy. You see that word envy? For he knew that for envy, because of envy, men will seek to destroy you. They will persecute you. They will castigate you. They will impinge you. They will lie on you because they're of their father, the devil, straight out of hell. Envy. He knew that for envy. He recognized why they did what they did. When he was set down on the judgment seat, God have mercy on Pilate. Judgment seat. He made a judgment. He made a judgment call. Men make judgment calls every day. They adjudicate many things. Many things they adjudicate sinfully and wickedly, not spiritually, not righteous judgment, but vile, wicked judgment they adjudicate. His wife sent unto him. She sent a message. Have thou nothing to do with that just man? Can I tell you there are still some just men? There are still some just women in the world. They're not just because of themselves. They're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, there is those that are just. I shared with you a few programs ago, Zacharias. Luke 1:6, talking about Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God. Not self-righteous, but they were just. They were just men and women. Simeon, who heard the Spirit of God say, go to the temple. Messiah. Messiah. He's there, Luke 2:25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and that same man was just and devout. Just, justified by the work that Jesus Christ would do. He believed, just like Abraham. He believed. These people were envious. When he was set down on the judgment seat, I want you to get that. He sat down on a seat of adjudication. His wife sent a message to have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. God will prick your conscience if you will let him. Her conscience was convicted. Her conscience was pricked. Jehovah told Saul of Tarsus, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard, Paul, because it's called conviction, son. Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders, the spiritual leaders, persuaded the multitude, the gainsayers, that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. The governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. Pilate recognized how just Jesus Christ. How could he do that? How could he realize that he was such a just man? The Holy Ghost would not let him know anything other than Jesus Christ was a just and righteous and godly man. That's what the Holy Ghost done to Pilate. I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. This is the problem with people today. They want the easy way out. I want to look at John 19. John 19, verse 12. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was a knoll, it was a high place, a place of judgment. And it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king! But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Are you a friend of Christ or a friend of the world? Are you a friend of Jesus Christ or are you a friend of this present world? James 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You're either with God or you're the enemy of God. It can't be both ways. It seems like the last few weeks the theme of my programs have been, you're either on or you're off. You're either just or you're unjust. You're either righteous or you're unrighteous. You're either holy or you're worldly. It's either Jesus or it's the devil. There's no middle ground. Everybody wants middle ground. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you want to be a friend of God or an enemy of God? America is going the way of decadent Rome. The Romans wore purple robes and they rode around in great horses and chariots. Today we wear dress suits and we ride around in Escalade Cadillacs. It's Christ or the world. I said it's Christ or it's the world. You can't have it both ways. I know some of you listening to me, that's what you want. I hear some of you right now, I can read your mind. I know I should quit this. I know I should quit that. I know I should quit saying that. I know I should quit saying this. I should quit going there. I should quit a lot of things, but I'm just not ready to quit. Why don't you be a real man and be a real woman and say, hey, I'm deceived and I'm a liar. I don't want to live right. That's my problem. I don't want to live right. You see, I have that decision, that choice to make every day, and every one of you listening to me, you have the same choice every day. Am I going to live right today? Am I going to do right today? Am I going to cheat today? Am I going to lie today? Am I going to sit there and watch untold hours of pornography today? Am I going to lust after another man's wife? I'm going to lust after another woman's husband? What will you do? What will you do? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What will you do with Jesus? You're going to do something with him. You hear me? You're going to do something with him. You're going to cast him off to the side and say, not now, some other time. Here's the problem with that. Do you have a certificate of authenticity that says there's another altar call, there's another Holy Ghost service, there's another move of God on your life to draw you to the foot of the cross? Do you have something that authenticates that? When I was a sinner, drinking and running wild, going to bed at night so fearful, so tormented in my mind. Why was I tormented? I was backslid. That's why. That's why I have such a tendency to preach against people who say, you can't lose your salvation. I was saved. I was Holy Ghost filled. I was a young man called of God, but backslid and got away from God. There was no doubt in my mind, had I died, where I would have ended up. You can't be the friend of the world and the friend of God at the same time. You can't have it both ways. I know that's what you want, but you can't show me that in the Bible. This is the problem with people. They're pacifist in spirit. Oh, they say they take a stand for godliness. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, they're compromised in doctrine. I said they're compromised in doctrine. It's like a man who is faithful to his wife most of the time. But you see, the truth is, he's unfaithful. Well, he's faithful most of the time. Well, he's unfaithful. But he's faithful most of the time. You see, that's the way people are, most of the time. The term worldly Christian is a contradiction. As Billy Sunday said, you might as well speak of a heavenly devil. That's right. There's no such thing as a worldly Christian. To be carnally minded, my Bible says, is death. Let me go back to Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be so. Then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Who are you pleasing? Your flesh and the devil? Or are you crucifying your flesh and serving Jesus Christ and picking up your cross daily and following Jesus, the Lord's Christ? The Roman Empire is gone. Caesar, he's gone. But Christ and his word lives on. Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Isaiah 40:8 says, the grass withereth, the flowers fadeth thereof, but the word of our God shall endure forever. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not going to change for you or for me. It's not going to change for anybody. Pilate called for a bowl. Call for a bowl to wash his hands. He said, I'm going to absolve my own sins. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. The people all answered, his blood be on us and on our children. I want to tell you something. There's going to be a lot of blood on a lot of preachers' hands who wouldn't tell the truth about Jesus Christ. I want to say something in closing today. I don't sermonize. I come to this microphone every Monday and Tuesday, and I ask the Holy Ghost, help me. I would fear and I would tremble if I were some of these television evangelists that had millions of viewers every day, every week, and taking in hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't care if you have 25 jets. I don't care if you have 50 yachts. I don't care if you got 100 Mercedes-Benz. You better tell a man the truth. God's not against riches. I said God's not against riches. It takes money to appropriate the gospel, but to take that money and be a hireling and never bring the people to a point of decision and tell them it's heaven or hell. It's heaven or hell. You can't be in the middle. The torment, the eternal torment on these men and these so-called women preachers. Blood, 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 innocent blood, because they would not tell the people the truth. I don't want that on me. I'd rather stay little in the sight of man and in the sight of God and preach an uncompromising message than be big and be compromised and say, well, I can't say that. I can't do that because that's not politically correct. You know there's no political correctness in this preacher's mouth. I don't care about political correctness. I am concerned about biblical truths. That's it. That's it. I'm not trying to climb the ladder of success in any denomination because I'm no longer a part of the denomination. I'm not trying to solicit preachers and people to get me, to bring me into a place to speak. God's given me a little platform, and I'm going to be faithful in this platform that God has given me. This platform was not something that I chose. It was something God ordained. And what I'm going to do is be faithful in telling you the truth. You see, people say they want the truth, but then when they hear it, they say, that's not really what I wanted. But friend, the truth brings you to a place of decision. Father, I bless your most holy name today. I bless your Son. I bless the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is my paracletos. He's my helper. He's my comforter. He's my strength. You sent him to me to help me in this world that I might endure to the end. And here you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. It reproves me. It rebukes me. It convicts me. It lets me know when I'm right, and it lets me know when I'm wrong. Thank you for your word that remains a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I pray for everyone listening today or whenever they listen to this program or download it, that they'll make the decision that everyone must make, but they'll make the right decision. They'll not be like Pilate and get a bowl of water and absolve their own sins, but they'll say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your precious blood. Create in me a right heart and a clean spirit, O God, and I will teach transgressors the way of Jesus Christ. Take this simple message today, Lord, and multiply it like you did the fishes and the loaves. Let it speak to multitudes. Let it speak to hearts. Let it be riveting. Let it be convicting. Let it be driving to the foot of the cross. And Father, I'll always give you all praise, all honor, all glory for everything that is done. for any and everything that is done is by your grace, Lord. It's not by men. It's not by women. It's by the Holy Ghost. It's by your work, Lord. All we're called to do is be faithful in our watch and preach your word to a lost and dying generation. Touch every home. Touch every family. Touch those who are dealing with a spirit of bereavement. They've lost a loved one. Comfort them, Holy Ghost. Give them strength. Give them courage. Touch those who are diseased and infirmed and afflicted in their bodies, Lord. Pour the oil and the wine into their hearts and minister to their every need, I pray. I pray for every marriage today. I pray for every husband. I pray for every wife. I pray for a spirit of unity to rise up in their home and bring them together as never before. I rebuke the spirit of division. I rebuke the spirit of contention. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus, and I plead the blood, and I ask that the Holy Ghost would bring comfort and solace and communion in each husband and each wife right now, Lord. You're not a divider. You bring us together. It's Satan with envy and with jealousy and with cruelness that divides. Bless now your people. Bless every heart. Bless every home. Bless every family. Bless every grandson. Bless every granddaughter, every grandmother, every grandfather, every nephew, every niece, every uncle, every aunt. God bless them, I pray today. Pour the oil and the wine into their spirit. And I'll ask it in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen and amen. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will make this decision one day, one way or the other.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.